The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Gentlemen, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue or diagnosis that rises up against you in judgment, we condemn it, showing it to be in the wrong. For we are God's heritage, and we belong to Him. Praise the Lord. So whatever you're going through tonight, I want to remind you that God is not, has never been, and will never be your problem. He is your on your side. He loves you, and He wants to be your friend if you will receive His friendship. So don't be moved by what you see. Go to the Word of God, and His Word will guide you through every situation, every struggle, everything that you deal with. He will bring light into the darkness. I love what the scripture says, that when I am in darkness, you will be a light unto me. As a matter of fact, that whole scripture passage I just partially quoted actually says this, Gary. It says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemies, for when I fall, yet shall I arise. When I'm in darkness, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Praise God. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
That's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. The gospel is not bad news. The gospel is not fear and gloom and doom. Even the book of Revelation is not a book of fear or doom and gloom. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ Himself and His soon coming kingdom and the tribulation period, which will begin the millennial reign of Christ when He cleanses and purifies the earth from sin. What great days are in front of us. Hallelujah. Time to get excited. Time to rejoice. Time to realize that you are the King's kid and He loves you and He is on your side. Woo! I've already preached myself happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd love for you to get on board tonight. You can email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. That's in studio101@gmail.com. You can email me your questions, your praise reports, a testimony. I'd love to hear from you tonight. What do you want to talk about? What's on your heart? What do you not understand about life or about the Word of God? And we will find the answer in God's word because it's in there. He has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, and it is in his word. Glory be to God. So I'd love for you to get on board right now. Email me in studio101@gmail.com and go ahead and grab that link, realityradio101.com. Is that the right link, Gary?
RealityRadio101.com, correct.
.com, yeah, RealityRadio101.com. Send that out. Also, you can grab the Facebook link and send that out as well. You probably saw me looking down like I was reading something, but I was actually texting friends and family so that they can jump on board. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. Go ahead and grab that link, whether you're on Facebook or on Reality Radio 101, and just send that link out right now to your friends and family so that they can jump on board with us in Jesus' name. Praise God. I don't see any comments yet, so give me some comments on Facebook. I'm going to refresh. I think it may have been my fault. But send in your comments. There we are. Hallelujah. Sister Wendy, good evening. Susan and Andrew, good evening. Joan, Susanna, Denise, Ron, Compton, Thelma. Praise God. Good evening. Good evening. Todd and Jedi, God bless you all. Joan, good evening. My beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful wife, Cheryl, Sister Avenel, Pam, Ulette, Minister Ulette, my sister Kathy, my brother-in-law Joe, everybody jumping on board. Praise God. We hit another record last week, Gary. We're almost at 11,000 listeners just on radio alone every week. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Yes.
It's really encouraging. And it's such a privilege to be with all of you every single week. And I just believe we're going to have a great time tonight. I want to get to your questions in just a moment from last week. I've got 7 questions that I just couldn't get to time-wise, but we're going to get to them at the top of the show tonight, Lord willing. And of course, we always follow the Holy Spirit and what he wants to say and how he wants to move, because we are his church. We are the living organism, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so important to learn as believers to be led by the Spirit of God. You learn to follow him. You learn to follow those promptings and follow after peace and just trust him and follow him with what he wants to do, because he always knows best. Praise God. Amen. So once again, email me right now in studio101@gmail.com with your questions. If you're a first time listener, I'd love to hear from you. Email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. Don't forget to let me know where you're writing from. So when you email me, let me know where you are writing from. This past week, part of our listenership came from Cyprus, Estonia, Germany, Lebanon. We had several in Russia, Gary, and then the United States, and our number one listener by a few hundred, Canada. Praise God. So always very encouraging. Our family in Canada, that's where this show started. My family and I, we are citizens of Canada, also citizens of the United States of America, and just privileged to, number one, be a citizen of heaven. Praise God. If you're not a citizen of heaven, citizenship is free. Now, it's free to you. It costs Jesus everything, but you can get citizenship for free by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you ask him into your life, he will give you citizenship of the planet heaven, and you'll have citizenship of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. You'll become a child of God. You'll receive all kinds of benefits. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says that he loads us down daily with benefits. Praise God. So we're so happy to have you tonight. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you got to do is call upon the name that is above every name, Jesus of Nazareth. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into the word tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful and thankful for your love, your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us that is mind-blowing. It's beyond and exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even think or ask. You have such a marvelous plan for us. And we trust you tonight. We love you tonight. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to renew our minds, charge our spirits, give us clear understanding. Let the light of the word shine into every area of darkness in our lives, penetrate and pierce, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Help us to discern our thoughts and our intents through your precious word. We receive it tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. All right, let's get to your emails from last week. Actually, before we do that, let's read our foundation text, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:13. If y'all don't have that memorized by now, I don't know what to tell you, because we've read it how many weeks now, Gary?
Oh, wow.
Three and a half years. Yeah. We've read it every single week. We've never missed a week. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. This is why faith is so critically important, because faith is how we win. Faith is how we overcome. Faith is how we triumph over our enemies. Faith is how we run through a troop and leap over a wall. Faith is how we receive financial miracles. Faith is how we receive healing in our body. Faith is how we receive deliverance from things that we might seemingly not have power over, but God has given us power over it through faith. Now, grace is what we receive through faith. Grace is the benevolence of God. It's the kindness of God. It's the charity, the love of God. It's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. And yet God gives it to us, but he gives it to us through the conduit of faith. Faith is required to receive anything from God. Gary, can you receive anything from God without faith?
No.
Can you please God without faith?
No.
No. And no is the right answer. Not sometimes, not maybe, not if it be God's will. The answer is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so what we have to do when we face a situation or we face a circumstance is we got to find out, number one, what did God say about the subject? What does God say about healing? What does God say about your finances? What does God say about your relationships? Is God okay with fornication? What's the answer, Gary?
No.
Is God okay with adultery?
No.
What is pornography? Is pornography fornication or adultery?
Both.
It kind of is. It's more in the fornication line, but it comes under one of the works of the flesh called lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a desire that's unlawful, unholy, unworthy. It's wrong. And so all of these things, it's not that God does not want us to have pleasure, but sin, what does sin produce, Gary? Always.
Death.
Death. The wages of sin. I love Gary. He's such a blessing. The wages of sin is death. What's another word for wages?
Pay?
Pay. The payment. Perfect word. The payment of sin. What is sin? Remember the definition of sin?
Going against God's word, basically.
Yeah, but it actually comes from a Greek word. The Greek word is hamartia, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A, hamartia. And it means to miss the mark. So it really gives us the visual of an archer shooting his bow and arrow. And he's shooting at the target, and he hamartia, he misses the mark. So then what happens when a person who is training for excellence in archery, what happens when they keep missing the mark? What are they going to do?
Practice more.
Practice more and probably get some instruction.
Yeah.
Because if you keep missing the mark, is the problem with the bow and arrow?
No, usually not. No.
See, the problem is not with your born again spirit. You are born again. You are a child of God. You've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's nothing wrong with your reborn spirit. There's something else going on. So what do you need in order to learn how to not miss the mark?
You need the word through faith.
Right. And so if you have the word, though, is it enough to just have the word?
No, because you have to believe it.
You have to believe it, but you also need instruction in righteousness. And that's why Jesus said in John 16, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Actually, it's John 14. I'll give you another comforter who will guide you. Now I'm in John 16, who will guide you into all truth. And he'll show you things to come. Now, John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them, or he's talking to the Father. Now, when I say talking, he's praying. Praying is the same thing as talking. When you're praying to God, you're talking to God. I'm going to take a quick side journey. You ever hear people pray, especially in charismatic circles, and they say, oh, Father, I ask you to bless this person. And Father, I really want you to do this. And Father, would you do this? And Father, would you do that? And Father, would you do this? Do you think the Father has forgotten his name?
No, of course not.
But see, sometimes what happens is we get religious in prayer. And we just keep saying, Jesus, 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 Father, 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 to try to sound religious. Do you think religiosity impresses God?
No.
Guess what it actually does?
It makes, I don't know.
It does the opposite.
Yeah.
It does the opposite. Because God is always looking for honesty and purity. Luke talks about that, and he talks about how the seed that is sown into good ground is sown into an honest heart, an honest and a good ground. Well, what is honesty? Honesty is purity. Honesty is there's another word I'm looking for, sincerity. There's nothing fake about it. And sometimes when we're just trying to sound religious or trying to sound like, you know, somebody else praying, we can become kind of fake, and that doesn't impress God. So really, when you pray to God, you want to talk to God. And if you believe that God is in the room with you, you know, if you went to see President Biden, Gary, and you got into the Oval Office and you were there on an assignment, perhaps you're representing an organization, and you're there to petition him for certain things, and you're asking him certain things, and you said, well, Mr. Biden, I'm asking you to do this, and Mr. Biden, I'd like you to do that, and Mr. Biden, what do you think after you said Mr. Biden 20 times he might say?
You don't have to call me that every time.
Or he might say, why do you keep reminding me of my name?
Yeah.
I know my name, and you keep repeating my name. And sometimes that's what we do in prayer. And it becomes this religious thing where we just keep saying God's name. I don't know if it's to fill up time or what it might be, but it doesn't impress God. And prayer is communion with God. Now, it is supplication, which means an earnest, heartfelt request. It is petition, which is asking God for something specific. It is intercession, which is standing in the gap for the lost. It's all these things. However, God knows his name. And so, yes, we approach with his name, and yes, we approach Psalms 100 with thanksgiving and with praise. But once you're there, just talk to him. And sometimes I think the problem is we do too much talking and not enough listening.
Okay, amen.
I'm gonna say that again. Sometimes we do too much talking and not enough listening. You know, when Jesus prayed, he prayed what the Spirit revealed to him in his heart. And when he heard what the Lord wanted him to pray, he said those words. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, I only say what the Father says. Well, what is saying? Saying is praying. I'm speaking what the Father is putting in my heart to speak. And so sometimes what we need to do is take enough time to hear from God before we pray. We need to take enough time to read the Word of God about the subject to find out what is God's will. Remember, the Word is the will of God. The will of God is the Word of God. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Word. They are intertwined, and you cannot separate them. You cannot disconnect them from each other. And so that's why it's important to have that Word in your spirit. And the Word I'm talking about is the Greek word rhema. Rhema means the living Word, the spoken Word. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said to the devil, he said, and he was quoting Deuteronomy, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," rhema, "that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Well, Gary, do you suppose if the Father was speaking back in the day of Jesus, that he's still speaking today?
Yes, of course.
Of course, because he doesn't change. And Gary, here's another reason why many of us are ignorant, is because we think 2,000 years is a long time.
I don't think that at all. That's only 20 grandmothers, maybe. Or 20, if you folks out there, if you have a grandmother that lived 80 years old, say, even on average, yeah. 23, yeah. 24 grandmothers.
Yeah, wow. But, you know, a lot of people, they think 2,000 years is ancient history. It's a long time.
Right, and it's not.
But
really.
Does God view that?
No.
How does God view 1,000 years?
A day, I think.
One day. Yeah. You got it, brother. One day. And see, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, "Be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day." He doesn't say don't be ignorant about two things. He says don't be ignorant about one thing. And the one thing that we are not to be ignorant of is that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. Why? This puts things in perspective. And so when you think it's a long time, you know, some of you have been waiting to meet Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright for 10 years. I waited 10 years for my wife. 10 years. I believe God for my wife. 10 years. And we think 10 years, a decade, man, that's a long time. That's, you know, an eighth of your life or whatever. It seems like a long time, but it's not a long time. It's a short time, especially it's a very short time if you marry the wrong person.
Yeah.
If you just go to get married and marry the wrong person and you are miserable because of who you're married to, then it was absolutely too short of a time. You weren't ready to get married, or they weren't ready to get married, or one of those two things. And so we have to learn to be patient. God's got a plan, and we need to enter into rest. We need to be patient. We need to know what does God's word say about this situation, and then stay with the word and allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the word, to guide you into all the word. Praise God, because that's what he will do if we will allow him, but he won't force himself. If you want to go in a different direction, you have the opportunity to do that, and God won't stop you. Praise God. Amen. All right. That's our monologue tonight, Gary.
Excellent.
Hallelujah. Let's get to our, oh, wow, got a lot of emails. Oh, no. Yeah, we got, wow, almost as many already tonight as last week. You can email me right now, plenty of time, in studio 101@gmail.com. I'm going to start getting to your questions right now. This is from last week. We're going to start from last week with Monique. Monique says, "Hello, Spirit of Faith. What does God say, if anything, about wealth? Can we have it?" God says a lot about wealth, a wealth of information about wealth. Let's start in Second Timothy. Wait. Praise God, all things richly. 1 Timothy 6, I think. Hope you have your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 6, or turn on your phone or your iPad or your tablet to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What does he give us, Gary?
The Lord?
No, I just read it. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What are things? We're not talking about spiritual things.
Things on earth. Natural things. Yeah, things on earth, materialistic.
Remember, he says, charge them that are rich in this world. So he's talking about those that have a Mercedes, those that have a five-bedroom house, those that have money in the bank, those that have income coming in, those that have every need met. He's saying, charge those that are rich in this world that they're not arrogant, that they don't trust in their money, but they trust in God. And what does God do? God giveth us richly. Now the word richly, let me turn there real quick. The word richly in the Greek is plousios, and it means to cram your net to the full. It means to give you copiously, abundantly. So it doesn't mean just to have a little dabble, do you? That's not the God we serve. The psalmist also said that God gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So God is going to give you all things richly. But here's the thing we have to understand. We can't allow the riches to have us. You should have riches, but you can't allow the riches to have you. We see this example with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Master, my whole life I've kept all the commandments. And yet he sensed that something was missing in his life. And he said, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, you're lacking one thing. Now that's pretty profound. I mean, Gary, if the Lord came to you and I, would he say, Gary, you're only lacking one thing?
No. Not for me.
We're still under construction. Yeah. We're still developing. Me too, man. Me too. I would think that he'd have a whole lot of stuff to say. But, you know, I don't know. So he said, you're lacking one thing. And remember what Jesus said to him?
Yeah.
Remember this? He was extremely rich. What did Jesus say to him?
I think he said, sell your possessions or something and give to the poor or something like that.
And keep going. And you shall have
rewards in heaven.
He said, you shall have treasures in heaven.
Treasures, yeah.
What did the rich young ruler do? He went away how?
Sad, because he couldn't do that, I think.
Very good. You know the story. He went away sad. Because he trusted in his riches.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that the disciples then marveled. And you remember their question to Jesus?
Then how could anyone get into heaven?
Well, Gary, you never cease to impress, brother. I'm telling you, they marveled. They said, then who can be saved? Now, if you were poor, and you believed it was God's will for you to be poor, and the only way you could really be saved is to be poor, would they have marveled and said, who then can be saved?
No.
No, they would have said, well, of course. Of course. Yeah. But they didn't do that. They marveled. God's will. Let's see one more verse before we move on. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. See, as a good father, he is not going to allow you to have things in your life when you're really trusting him and really walking with him, if you're not able to handle it, because he doesn't want the things to destroy you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have blessings in your life. But he doesn't, want you to have blessings that are going to cause you to not walk in faith, not be in church. You know, Gary, if some people had $100,000 cash right now extra, they might go out and buy a boat. And then where would they be on Saturday and Sunday?
Out on the boat.
And where would they not be?
In church.
So what's happened? Riches have now, they've now, the word of God is not producing in their life because of the deceitfulness of riches. Mark chapter 4 tells us that the word was choked because of this. One of the reasons, there's four reasons there, because of the deceitfulness of riches. Riches are deceitful, but God wants you to have all things in this life. He just doesn't want the things to have you. That becomes materialism. And then you miss out on allowing God's word to produce 30, 60, 100-fold in your life. Praise God, Monique. Wonderful question. I call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Jody. Jody says, hi, Pastor. Enjoying your radio show tonight. This is, of course, last week from Dallas, Texas. Thank you for the word. At first, it was very small print. I thought it said, thank you for the word. But thank you for the word. Amen, Jody. You're welcome. It's Gary and I's privilege to bring the word of God every Sunday night. We love it, and it's just a joy. Praise God. So thank you so much. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Brother Compton says, Brother Gary is throwing some spitballs tonight. Watch your batting, Pastor.
Ah, that's funny.
Praise God. Another email here tonight from Greg. Greg says, Pastor, blessings for a happy, healthy spring coming up tomorrow. And of course, that was last Monday. And it's been a nice spring. Today was about 50 degrees, Gary. I went to the gym this afternoon with shorts and a light sweatshirt.
Oh, nice.
What's it like in Toronto?
It's nice and sunny, but it's not quite that warm yet.
Okay. Yeah, it was close to 50 degrees, which is what? 16 Celsius, something like that?
Something like that. I don't follow Celsius.
Are you still on Fahrenheit? Or I am. Celsius? Yeah, me too. After all these years. Of course, you've been in Canada longer than I. When did you come to Canada?
2004 now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I came in 2010. I graduated Bible school in 2004.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, next month will be 19 years in full-time ministry.
Oh, congratulations.
Praise God. Amen. Greg, I call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Andrew. Andrew says, faith, period. Today, : let your faith rest in the one who made the promise. Woo! I love it. Let your faith rest. The word faith is the Greek word pistis. It means confidence and assurance. Let your confidence be in the one, not the thing, but the one who made the promise. I love it. Thank you for sharing that, Andrew. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend, last week, from our friend Lisa. Lisa says, hi, Pastor. A prayer for all of our elderly in nursing homes. All right, let's pray for them right now, Lisa. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up all the elderly that are in nursing homes or in any type of respite care, and we're praying right now for their strength. We're praying that you would fill them with hope, that they might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they might know, Father, that their best days are in front of them. And if they don't know you, we pray you'd send laborers into the nursing homes, laborers across the harvest. And we pray, Father, that they would come to know you. We lift up the elderly. We lift up our elderly parents and grandparents. We lift up, Father, all of those who have been faithful and lived a long life. Lord, that their days would be many, that they would fulfill the number of their days, your will being done in their lives. In Jesus' name, we also pray for their minds. We pray, we come against right now Alzheimer's. We come against dementia. We come against all memory problems in the name of Jesus. And we speak life to their minds and life to their spirits, life to their brains. And we pray, Father, for their brain cells to be quickened. We pray, Father, for their memory to be sound in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to give wisdom to them and wisdom to doctors as to anything natural that can be done to treat their minds and their brains so that their memory, Father, would be intact all the days of their life in the authority of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You know, my grandmother on my dad's side, Gary, she passed away when she was about 87. Mm. And her body had osteoporosis and some other issues. But she was as mentally acute as you can imagine. But we don't always see that. You know, my mom's mom, she had Alzheimer's and she had issues mentally and, you know, not mentally, but with her memory and whatnot. And it's just, you know, some do and some don't. It's wild. But I think one of the greatest blessings is to maintain your memory and maintain your ability in that area. And I guess if I had to choose, I'd rather choose to make sure I stayed mentally acute. But thank God we don't have to choose. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health, even as your soul prospers." And so God wants us healthy mentally, emotionally, and in every area. Praise God. So we thank God for this answer to prayer. And we thank God for Lisa, who asked us to pray for this tonight. Call you blessed, Lisa, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Monica, entitled "The Lord's Prayer." "Hi, Pastor. What is the proper way to say the Lord's Prayer? Some say the clause at the end, 'For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, both now and forever.' And some do not say that clause. What is the proper way? Thank you very much." So, first of all, Jesus said this. He said, "Don't be like the..." I'm going to make you turn there. So, open up the Gospel of St. Matthew. I'm going to find it here real quick. Praise God for their much praying. Oops. Thank you, Jesus. That's not it. Thank you, Lord. Nobody likes silence, right? Praise God. If anybody finds that for me, you know what I'm looking for. Put it in Facebook real quick. I'm trying to find it here. Thank you, Lord. Gary, let's tell people how they can get on board tonight, will you?
Sure thing. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward. And you can write to us with a question or a comment. Let us know where you are listening from, and our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com.
Thank you, Garrett. Matthew 6:5, please. Matthew 6:5. We might as well just start with verse 1. He says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." Of course, this is the Beatitudes. "To be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven." Now, let me just add this, Gary. Did Jesus teach the law?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay,
Jesus
no.
never taught the law. The law of Moses was not what Jesus taught. As a matter of fact, Jesus would say, "The law says this, but I say unto you." Jesus taught the kingdom of God. Jesus taught New Testament, not Old Testament. Now, who was his audience?
Everyone that he...
Everyone, but specifically his audience were those under the law. And so Jesus was introducing the kingdom of God, the new covenant, to those who were under the law. Verse 2, "Therefore, when you do your alms," in other words, when you give offerings, "do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do." So notice that word hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody who seems one way, but they act a different way. And in other words, there's one way outside, but on the inside, they're not that way. And so we were talking about that earlier, about not being fake, that God does not like pretension. God likes real. And you got to be real with God. And we were talking about with prayer and not repeating his name all the time because it sounds good or sounds religious. Well, it might seemingly sound good to you or somebody else, but does it sound good to God? And who are we trying to please? Praise God. "That they may have their glory of men. Truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you give, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms, your offerings, may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward you openly. Now here it is. When you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and the Father, which sees you in secret, shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. What are those two words, Gary?
Repetitions.
Vain repetitions. Yeah. What does the word vain mean? Do you know?
Yeah, like all about yourself.
It means empty.
Yeah.
The word vain repetition is actually one Greek word. And this one Greek word is batologeo. Now, logeo is where we get the word logos, or the word of God. And then this word bato, and it's a combined word. So it means to stammer, to repeat, to babble. So Jesus says, don't just repeat a prayer. And that's sometimes what people do. You know, you see whole denominations, they say the Our Father like 10 times, or the Hail Mary 10 times. By the way, the Hail Mary is not a scriptural prayer at all. We don't Hail Mary. We don't worship Mary. We worship God and God alone. But that's another topic for another time. But a vain repetition would be just praying the prayer to repeat it. And we don't want to have repetitious prayers. So I read all that, Monica, to show the point that we shouldn't just be praying a prayer out of repetition. It's got to be from your heart. Now, with that said, is the disciples' prayer. The disciples' prayer is the Our Father. After this manner, verse 9, I'm in Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is this really what this is? Is this is an outline for prayer? It's not to just be repeated to say, I said this prayer. This is an outline of prayer. So when we say, Our Father, who are we talking to? We're talking to God the Father. And we're recognizing that he is in heaven. And we're saying, holy is your name. The Greek word for name is onoma. It's character and authority. It's the reputation from God. His reputation is holy. Thy kingdom come. The word kingdom is talking about the dominion of the king. You're declaring, Lord, your way of doing things come, and it already has come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, fresh manna, fresh word from the Spirit of grace, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's talking about sin here. He's talking about sin as debt. He's saying, forgive us what we owe you, and forgive others who owe us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from every evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So part of the question from Monica was, do we read the last part? Well, we already know the answer right now. We don't read any of this. We're not just reading it to read it or to pray this prayer. It's got to come from your heart. But this last part is powerful, because what you're doing at the end of this prayer is you're now saying, for yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. In other words, you're humbling yourself and saying, Lord, it all belongs to you. And I worship you, and I honor you, because you are God, and it's your kingdom, it's your power, it's your honor forever and ever. Praise God. Amen. I hope that answers your question, Monica. I call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Last email from last week is from our friend Olivia. Olivia says, hey, Pastor, liberal logic 101. Won't eat eggs because they are baby chickens, says a fetus is a clump of cells. It's absolutely bizarro, and it's the bizarro world that we live in. Didn't Seinfeld do a whole episode on the bizarro world?
Yes.
And we're in the bizarro world, and this bizarro world is being governed by demons. Is God in control of this earth, Gary?
No.
He's not. Watch the news for 5 minutes and find out God ain't in control. If God was in control, we wouldn't have the inflation. We wouldn't have the abortion. We wouldn't have the murders, the rapes, and everything else going on. And here's one thing to consider when we talk about abortion. There is judgment that is coming as a result of man's decision. And you need to realize that. Now, if you haven't, let's say you have had an abortion and you chose to end the life of the fetus that was inside you, that would have become a baby. There's forgiveness. That's not the unpardonable sin. Murder is not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin, you know what it is, Gary? Did you know there's an unpardonable sin?
Yes, and you did preach on that, and I can't remember what.
Yeah, so the unpardonable sin is calling the power of God the power of the devil, but you have to know that it's the power of God. So it's someone that knows that a miracle from God took place, and they say, that's not God, that's the devil, and yet they know it's God. That's the unpardonable sin. Praise God. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is another way of saying it. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But murder is not an unpardonable sin. Abortion is not an unpardonable sin. You can have forgiveness just as easy as you can get forgiven for, you know, saying damn, you know, swearing, taking the Lord's name in vain, whatever it might be. I'm not saying those aren't minor sins, but sin is sin at the end of the day. And even if somebody did blaspheme the Holy Spirit, if they can repent, and basically the Bible is saying they won't repent, but if they can repent, there's forgiveness for them too, because God is gracious and he's merciful. And all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. So thank you for that. We call you blessed tonight, Olivia, in Jesus' name. A lot of emails to get to, Gary. Another email here tonight from Darlene. This is fresh from tonight. It says, thank God, not in jail, not in a hospital, not in a grave. Thank God for another day. Amen. I'll say amen to that. Hallelujah. But if you were in jail, preach Jesus. If you're in the hospital, preach Jesus. And you're not in the grave because you can't preach in the grave. So we thank God for today. Love it. Call you blessed, Darlene, in Jesus' name. Don't forget when you write in to tell me where you're writing from. In the name of Jesus. Another email here tonight from our friend Bonnie. Bonnie says, Pastor, was Nicodemus a very important figure in the Bible? Why is he in there? Yes, he was a very important figure. He was very rich. He was a one of the members of the Pharisees. He was a leader. Let me pull him up real quick. Give you some more information on Nicodemus. He was also a very short man. Nicodemus, if I'm spelling that right. Praise God. John chapter 3. Let's go to John chapter 3. Oops. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, which means he was one of the head, and he had a high role in the temple. He was a Jewish rabbi. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he was one of the three richest men in Jerusalem. So what makes somebody powerful, Gary?
Well, money sometimes.
Money. What else?
A position, like
position, authority. And
yeah.
So he was a rabbi. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the most powerful group in Jerusalem, and he had money. So do you think he was important?
Well, to certain people he was, yes.
Well, to everybody, because think about it. If somebody's not religion, but you're a millionaire, are you important?
Yes, they think you are.
To most people.
Yeah.
So he had all the areas covered. The religion, the title of rabbi, and he was rich. Third richest person in all of Jerusalem. So he was extremely important. Now, what was the rest of the question here? Why is he in there? Well, he's in there because he believed in Jesus and he was looking for the truth. He was looking for the reality of the Messiah. And of course, he knew the scriptures. By the way, I highly recommend the TV series called The Chosen. You can get it on your app. You can get it online. You can watch it as soon as we're done. Don't watch it till 9:30 now. I got 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
But you can watch it at 9:30 by just going on the website, The Chosen, and download the app on either Google or on Apple. And you can watch all the seasons. I think, what are we in the third season and all the episodes? It'll greatly bless your life. So check that out. But yeah, Nicodemus was very important, and that's why. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Bonnie, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Lenora. Lenora says, Pastor, do you think that anything in the Bible was made up or added by the writers or scholars of the Bible?
Oh, we lost you, Pastor. We lost your audio.
Sorry, I hit the mute button by accident. Was it anything added by the scholars? Sure, it is God's word, but is it embellished in any way? How do we know for sure? So absolutely, it is not embellished in any way, shape, or form. Let me give you a verse on that. Praise God. And that is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1, starting with verse 20. I'll read the King James, then I'll read the NLT. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There is zero embellishment in God. There is nothing phony in God. We've been talking about that all night. God is the most honest, fair person you will ever meet. And he hates embellishment. He hates anything that is pretentious or phony. He hates it. Hates it. Now, he doesn't hate the person who may be pretentious. He loves the person, but he hates anything fake. He just hates it. And so the Holy Spirit moved upon these men of God, and they wrote down, they spoke what God said, period, end of story. No embellishment, no lies. God hates lies. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone for eternity. So, no, there is nothing fake about the Bible. Now, how do we know that? Because we believe God's word. And I just gave you scripture and verse on it. So we choose to have confidence, trust, in the word of God, not in what some others have said. And sure, the devil's going to try and tell you to pick and choose the word of God, that some is true and some is not true, that some is right and others are embellished. No, man, the word is all pure and holy. And remember this, the word of God was never meant for your intellect. The word of God was meant for your spirit. Your spirit is able to digest the word of God. It's not for your head. It would be no different. How about a car, Gary? Can a car digest corn oil?
No.
No. Can a car digest lard?
No.
What does a car need?
Gasoline or diesel.
Gasoline and motor oil.
Yeah.
That's what it needs. So if you put the wrong thing in it, it's not going to be able to process it. The same thing with you trying to understand the Word of God with your brain. Your brain is not meant for the Word of God. The Word of God is meant for your spirit. And your spirit is to rejoice, receive the Word of God. And when you do, understanding comes. And your mind will catch up. But you first have to digest the Word of God with your faith, which is in your spirit. Remember our foundation text. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Proverbs chapter four, verse 20 says, "My son, get busy with my word. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Your heart is your spirit. "For they are life to those that find them, medicine to all their flesh." Keep it in your spirit. Your spirit can digest the word, not your head. Call you blessed, Lenora, in Jesus' name. Another email. Oh my gosh, where are all these emails coming from, Gary? What are you doing to me?
We're promoting.
I've got 5 minutes. Another email here tonight from Sean. Sean said, I can't even get them all on my same screen here. Sean says, "Hey, Pastor, a long time ago on your radio show, you were talking about the atrocities of COVID regarding your son's hockey experience. You stated that you were suing someone or some entity. How did that turn out? Are you able to speak about that now? There are a lot of folks here in Canada that are now thinking about doing that for the atrocities that our federal government has put us through. Thanks." I'm currently in a lawsuit right now against the Hockey Foundation in Ontario for violating my civil rights. And so I've already paid lawyers quite a bit of money, and that is going through right now, the court system. But to my knowledge, they haven't started any of those cases, and there are tens and thousands of them, people that are suing for a violation of their rights as a Canadian citizen, which I am. But we prayed for many, many months, and we felt led the best thing to do was for us to move to the States for now for our children. And thank God we had the opportunity, and he led us to do that. And so that's a good thing for us right now. We may end up back in Canada someday, but right now we're focused on our current assignment, which is a great blessing and privilege from the Lord. And what else did you ask here? That's all in process right now. We'll see what happens. I very rarely think about it. I just have given it to God and let it go and moved on. Praise the Lord. But the things going on in Canada are not good. It's really the spirit of Antichrist very much at work in Canada and in the United States and really around the world, because the Antichrist is getting ready to come on the scene, but he can't come on the scene until the church is taken out. The rapture will be the next major event. Now it could be the battle of, Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38. But major event for the church will be the rapture of the church. Praise God. Amen. Call you blessed tonight, Sean. In Jesus' name. I also wanted to mention that we've got a trip coming up to Israel. I'd love for you all to come with us. Bishop Butler will be leading a trip to Israel. It's a first-class trip, and you can join us. Go to our website, wordoffaith.cc/Israel, wordoffaith.cc/Israel. Let me make sure that's right. Word of Faith, praise God, Word of Faith /Israel. It's wordoffaith.cc/Israel. Yep, wordoffaith.cc/Israel. In the footsteps of Jesus, we'll be going March 4 to March 14, round trip out of JFK in New York. Love to have you come with us. It's a first-class trip, security, the guides, the hotels, the food, everything is part of the package price. And it's as first-class as they get. We're in 5-star hotels. It'll change your life. It will be an absolute life game changer. You will never read the Bible the same after you go. And there's no greater tour guide than our Bishop. Bishop Butler will be leading the trip himself, and it'll be just a tremendous blessing. So I really encourage you to go with us. If you need a roommate, they will help you find a roommate. It's based on double occupancy. We don't spend a lot of time in the hotels. We're touring. It's a very busy trip, but I'm telling you, it's a life game changer. Be a great blessing to you. So go to wordoffaith.cc/Israel. And if you have any questions specifically, just email me. I'd be happy to answer any of your questions in studio101@gmail.com. Praise God. Another email here tonight. Sean, I call you blessed. Another email here tonight from our friend Colin. Colin says, "Hi, Pastor. There seems to be a lot of confusion among some Christians regarding masturbation. I know the Bible doesn't specifically forbid it, but also know in my heart it is a sin or missing the mark. What would you say to those Christians who don't have an issue with this and in fact promote it? Please excuse my autocorrect." So I wouldn't have an issue with people who allow it in their own lives. That's up to them, you know? It's not my job to be Holy Spirit Junior for anybody. You know, you want to live that way, that's your choice. Now, if God leads me, I'll pray for you. But it's not my job to change your mind. It's not my job to really get involved in your life. Now, when you start teaching others from the perspective that God is okay with it, now we have an issue, because God is not okay with sin. And what is masturbation? Masturbation is self-gratification. And most people don't stop there. It becomes lasciviousness. It becomes pornography. It becomes all these unclean thoughts, which are not from God, and God does not bat his eye at it. And so it's not something that is okay. And I would tell people that sexual gratification is not to be not to be independent. It's to be with a husband and or a husband with his wife, or a wife with her husband, but it's not to be yourself. And is masturbation okay in marriage? Sure. Because the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. So things that are in the Bible actually says less about what not to do than it says about what to do. Now, the Bible does talk about sexual positions, but the Bible is not okay with things that are outside of God's will. And really, masturbation is just pleasing yourself. You're not pleasing God in that. And certainly you're not pleasing another person, because you're not married. And if you are married, then you're violating what should be between you and your spouse. And so, you know, selfishness is really connected with masturbation. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that those that are single should live their life unto God, how they may please the Lord. Well, masturbation is not pleasing the Lord. You're pleasing yourself, and that's not God's will. So that's how I would look at it. But at the same time, I would encourage that person to seek God and ask the Lord, is the Lord okay with a masturbation? And certainly the scripture tells us that if you are burning with passion, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you are burning with passion or burning with desire for sex, then you should find your own spouse. You should find your own wife. And then that burning will be satisfied within the bonds of the covenant called marriage. Marriage is before God and before man, but it's really before God first. And, you know, dating somebody or having a, what do they call it, Gary? Common law marriage?
Yeah, common law.
That's not marriage.
No.
That's not marriage. Marriage is when you pray, believe God, this is the person I'm supposed to be married to, and then you go before a minister, you go through the vows of marriage, and you also do it in the eyes of the law, and then you're married. And then all the benefits come with being married. But doing it outside of God's will is only going to set you up for trouble. Hope that answers your question. Call you blessed, Colin, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Paul. Paul says, hey, Pastor John, how should we really celebrate Easter? Well, first of all, we should know the word Easter is a pagan name after a goddess, and it's not Christian. Resurrection Sunday is what it really is. And Resurrection Sunday is a celebration of the resurrected Christ. And how should we celebrate? We should go to church. We should celebrate that Jesus is alive. And then we should spend time with family and fellowship. But understand the purpose of Resurrection Sunday, which is also Passover, because Jesus died as our Passover meal. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. We should celebrate Jesus. Amen. Call you blessed tonight, Paul, in Jesus' name. I'm not going to get to all these emails again, Gear. Another email here tonight from Chris. Chris says, hey, the Spirit of Faith, who are the original angels that God used? Did God just make them as angels, or are they folks that died and became an angel? Great question, Chris. And the answer is very simple. Angels are their own being that was made by God, and they are not people. There's no such thing as an angel becoming a person. Now, an angel can be transformed to look like a human, to look like a man. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12, I believe, that some of you have entertained angels unaware, but an angel is not a human. A human is not an angel. When children die, they don't become angels. But now the word angel is also translated the word messenger. And so there are people who are in the King James Version and probably some other versions are also called angels, but they are not angelic beings. They are humans that are messengers. And so there's a huge difference. So no, an angel is an angel, and there are an innumerable number of angels. We have one third of innumerable number of angels that were deceived by Lucifer and Satan, and then they betrayed God, and they are now fallen angels. And there's an innumerable number, one third of the innumerable number of angels are fallen angels, and they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Praise God. But their time is not yet. They are still around. Praise the Lord. All you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. How much time can I stretch out, Gare? Are we about out?
We got 2 minutes before we go into the next billing phase.
Let's go one more minute.
You got
another email here tonight from Gail. Gail says, hi, Pastor. I love this t-shirt. A lot can happen in 3 days. Woo! Glory to God. You're right. A lot can happen in 3 days. Be full of hope. Man, I love that t-shirt. Praise God. I'm saving that attachment right now. Good stuff. Praise God. Thank you. I don't want to go any further because we are out of time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now I got 10 more emails for next week. So I'll get to you all next week. What a privilege to be with you all. As always, please check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. And man, Gary, we're getting more emails than we ever have.
That's beautiful.
And a lot of them are great questions. So we thank you all. And I want to remind you until next week that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.